If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Well, we're shifting gears now to focus on a very important conversation that takes place. You might have heard our previous conversation was talking about MBAs and the opportunity to ensure that it expands your horizons when it comes to your career trajectory. But speaking of careers, many South Africans who are employed should consider themselves as the more fortunate part of the population. Because as we know, employment equity remains a major focus for economic growth in South Africa and a prioritization to highlight the level of transformation and inclusivity that needs to be brought about. To tell us more about this, though, especially just when it comes to a reflection on employment equity and decent work support that's required in South Africa, we joined on the line by Dr. Kwezi Mabasa, economic and social policy researcher, joining us now. Such a pleasure to have you with us, Dr. Mabasa. Welcome to the show.
Evening, Google, and evening to the listeners as well.
Excited to speak to you on this one, because this is essentially an area that you've been researching for quite some time now when it does come to decent work, and much of the research that's been compiled by various institutions like the International Labour Organization, Free Market Foundation, and many others. But I'm quite keen just to get your reflections. When we look at where we are as South Africa right now, more than 30 years after democracy, within the macroeconomic constraints that we have and even the policies that have been brought forward, how do we fare when it comes to employment equity?
Yeah, so in terms of just creating a suitable framework for complying with basic labor laws, we're on the right track. But the issue is that if you look at the structure of the labor market, we're still facing the same challenges in relation to inequalities that we did a couple of years back. So there are systemic labor market inequalities, especially wage disparities, and they are racialized and gendered. And this comes out in various research reports on the nature of inequalities within the workforce. And that's a big problem. And the reason why it's a big problem is because labor market inequalities account for a significant portion of overall inequality. And this is quite concerning. The second reason why it's also concerning is that if you have inequality, it's very hard to achieve economic growth because you need demand to drive economic growth. And so we really have to address this issue. And there are several debates around this, but the reality is that if you don't address inequality, you won't achieve economic development, and you also won't achieve your key human development targets. Mm. And whenever we debate employment equity, unfortunately, it's just reduced to just race. And as we know, employment equity deals with also gendered inequalities in the labor market. It focuses also on people with disabilities. And so we need to approach it holistically and understand it from that vantage point. Yes.
Mm. I'm glad you highlight this, because we have seen several political parties like the DA and other labor organizations sharing a different view and different perspective, and even challenging the perspective of employment equity. And you've brought about a different argument to this. As you've said, it's broader than just racial dynamics, but fully comprehending, I guess, the ripple effects, how this can be a catalyst really for overall economic growth, but also the eradication of inequality. What more or how differently do we need to approach this in order to reach the desired outcomes in South Africa?
So how we've approached it previously is that we've allowed companies, both in the public and the private sectors, to try and comply with the prescribed legislation on a voluntary basis with sort of minimal enforcement. They just have to report. And now there's a discussion about introducing quotas and more stringent enforcement mechanisms to ensure that the companies can comply with the legislation. And this is why there's a big debate about this. And we need to take these measures, because obviously just allowing the voluntary sort of compliance effort has not worked. So we need to look at your minimum wages. We need to look at a national incomes policy, but also even introducing quotas for specific sectors. But also linking the assessment of employment equity to accessing procurement, because a lot of companies have access to procurement opportunities within the state. They have access to incentives. And the reason why the state gives these companies these incentives is because the idea is that if you access the incentives, you must also then contribute towards national socioeconomic development goals, such as addressing inequalities in the labor market. And if companies are not meeting their end of the bargain, then clearly we have to try different steps. And that's the reality that we face. And hence now there's a discussion about introducing quotas. And even if you look at the amendments to the Companies Act last year, the 2024 amendments, they basically instituted regulations that compel companies to basically report on the wage disparities that they have as a way of encouraging them to deal with the wage disparities. So we need all of these set of interventions to address this. And because if we don't address this, as I stated before, we're not going to deal with our systemic inequality. And even the World Bank and the IMF reports highlight this point of inequality. If people remember when Cyril Ramaphosa first ascended to power, one of the first reports that came from the World Bank was on this question of inclusion. And they emphasized that if South Africa doesn't deal with its systemic inequality, we're not going to achieve economic development or our broader human development indicators. So I think we need to move beyond the voluntary framework that we've used in previous years.
Got you. And I think this is so critical because you mentioned something so important, not just the policy, but also the private sector participation. And even when we look at our economic policies right now, whether it's the NDP, Operation Vulindlela, or many other documents that have tried to carve and chart a way forward for our economic growth, we are still below target because of our failure to adequately address the employment crisis that we have in the country. Private sector, I want us to go there for a little bit further. Given that this is a business show, you can imagine we speak to many captains of industry who often highlight their commitment to job creation in South Africa. But we also know that sometimes that does come at a cost and profits are prioritized over the engagements with labor. When it comes to private sector, as you've mentioned, beyond just ticking the box, it does seem as though a more conducive environment does need to be created for them to create jobs on a sustainable basis. But your view on business, your view on their role in job creation. And again, we kind of need to shift gears and really accelerate here, Kwezi. And there's just like this reluctance or perhaps even more speed humps that we see on the route that make us a lot more cautious.
So I think, yes, private sector is carefully going to play a role in South Africa attaining its development outcomes. But what we have to do is we have to link private sector investment to national development goals and development strategies. And one of the things that has happened, which we need to address, is the fact that South Africa's economy is deindustrialized. So in other words, if you look at the key sectors that are supposed to drive value addition, build local value chains, they've been declining, such as manufacturing. And we have to rebuild South Africa's industrial base. So what does that mean? It means that we have to prioritize the private sectors that can help us rebuild South Africa's industrial base, because there's going to be socioeconomic multiplier effects on that, which is job creation, localization, and skills development, and building a more resilient economy. The second thing is also that we also have to make our colleagues within the private sector understand that actually having high levels of poverty and inequality is a danger to creating a conducive business environment, right? Yeah. Because if you have those high levels of inequality and poverty, you're going to have instability in the country. And that logically lends itself to an unconducive business environment. And the third also important thing is that the private sector has to understand that labor is central to development. And if you don't promote decent work in the long run, you don't create the conditions that are conducive for having demand in the economy and in order to drive the growth that we want to achieve. And for me, it's not an either or thing. So I don't believe in the stages theory, which is let's first grow and redistribute. No, we need a growth model that is based on redistribution to drive growth. Okay. And that's what we need to change, because there's this idea that no, we just need to grow first, and that hasn't happened. We experienced one of the longest period of sustained economic growth under the leadership of President Thabo Mbeki, mm-hmm. even reached a GDP average of 5%. It didn't address some of the structural impediments that I'm speaking about. So our model has to change, and that's what I think we need to get the people in the private sector to also understand. The other thing also is that there won't be investment in South Africa if we have pessimism around the country,
True.
Right? So we cannot go to international stages and in some cases misrepresent the facts and expect investment to come. So the idea of building a conducive investment environment requires also a patriotic private sector to some extent. And I think we have to address those underlying issues.
I've often heard that the hanging of our dirty laundry in public in on global stages. So it really does call for a heightened level of camaraderie as well as ongoing partnership. Dr. Mabasa, we'll leave it here for today, but there's so much more that we will continue to discuss in the weeks to come as we look at the vast array of topics and conversations that are really top of mind for developmental economists like yourselves, entrepreneurs, business owners, policymakers, and of course us as South African citizens. So thank you again for your time this evening, sir.
Thank you, Kuku, and thank you to the listeners.
Thank you. That's Dr. Kwezi Mabasa, economic and social policy researcher, joining us this evening as we reflect on employment equity. You might be asking yourself why? Well, we're in the month of May, and you might recall we celebrated Workers' Day at the beginning of this month, but ultimately, employment is just that lever that we need to continue to pull at to ensure that South Africa does reach the heightened levels of economic growth that we aspire to have on a sustainable
basis. If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.